This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. On today's show, APAS and SARM had time to process the provincial budget and weighed in on what the budget means for their members. Kevin Hirsch with SaskAgToday.com has a report on Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada's crop price projections, and we'll have more from a webinar hosted by the Canola Council of Canada. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. Up first on the program is APAS and their reaction to the provincial budget, which was released yesterday. Keep it tuned here to 620 CKRM Sask Ag Today. We'll be back right after this break.
This is Sask Ag Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection, and Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. The Vice President of the Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan had some good things to say about the provincial budget for agriculture. Bev Pirio was at the legislature in Regina yesterday for the budget's release and thought it didn't have a lot of surprises.
A 22.4 million increase over last year in the ag budget, which is obviously a bonus. We definitely, appreciate seeing that. And we also appreciate the risk management funding that's improved or increased a fair bit. So those are some of the positives, I guess, that I kind of felt I've seen there.
The Ministry of Ag's budget increased by 4.1% to $570.6 million. The majority of those funds, $431.7 million, is allocated to federal provincial risk management programs such as crop insurance and agri-stability.
The crop insurance thing has been an ongoing thing. I mean, obviously they did their overhaul on it and then had its bumps in the road getting rolled out and getting people on board with it. APAS, I guess, from our point of view, those bumps can be painful sometimes for some of the farmers, but the way it's rolling out now, it should make it easier for young farmers to get insured. So, it's a little cheaper for them than it is if you've been in a claim situation. So I guess that's something that we've always pushed for is, the young farmers being able to get a leg up here and there. So, and then we also really, really appreciate the new weather stations that are going to go out, which is going to really help for measuring precipitation or lack thereof. So that's something that we really appreciate seeing in the budget, and we hope that it can just continue to improve year over year. And, because there's so many pockets in the province that just don't get measured properly. And then so by increasing that budget and increasing those weather stations, I think we can get some better data.
Ag research facilities around the province and programs supporting the development of new tech is getting $38 million, something APAS is in favor of.
That's how we can do good work on our farms. And we all believe in sustainability and all of those initiatives as well. And we think that we do a good job of that as farmers. That's why, we do what we do. We love that land, so we're going to care for it in the best way possible, and it's always good to have new and improved ways of doing things. We're not going to stick our head in the sand and never want to improve, so you got to have that. And that funding will, I believe, will go to a lot of good.
Pirio says if there was anything to criticize about the budget, it was the lack of a drought preparedness plan.
So that we can have some kind of funding in place in the event this year rather than waiting until after it happens and people are having to sell off herds of cattle because they can't get grass, they have no grass. So the snow that hit a couple of weeks ago, despite the media, despite the weatherman, it did not hit everybody evenly. So there is still, at this time, there's a great amount of concern for drought for this upcoming year.
Expenses for agriculture for 2024-25 will be $1.5 billion. We'll continue the topic of budget reaction after the break as we'll hear from SARM President Ray Orb. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the program. The president of the Saskatchewan Association of Rural Municipalities was pleased to see some of the organization's lobbying efforts bear fruit. Before the provincial budget was released yesterday, Ray Orb was hoping for more funding for the Rural Integrated Roads for Growth program, and it saw an increase of $2.35 million to $17.35 million for the new fiscal year.
So that will give us another $1 million for capital projects and about $1.4 million for a heavy truck corridor. So those are the corridors that are called clearing the path. You see signs when you drive around rural Saskatchewan. Those are the roads that take a lot of heavy traffic. So about $2.4 million, we were asking for about $25 million, but of course, that's still a 16% increase. It'll be welcome. And we'll continue lobby, you know, for more funding as time goes on, hoping even next year we can get more of an increase.
Another big item that SARM is interested in was an increase to the municipal revenue sharing. $340.2 million is budgeted between urban and rural communities. Of that amount, $96.9 million is allocated to RMs, which Orb says a formula is used to determine how the money will be distributed.
The criteria that the province looks at, that, you know, there's assessment, miles of road, some population as a population factor as well. So that formula is agreed to, and it's kind of renegotiated every 5 years. Suma and SARM and the New North have a consultation with the provincial government, you know, to lobby for their share. And if there's an increase in anyone's share, it has to be agreed by the other parties. So it's kind of an ongoing discussion, but generally that formula is fairly transparent and easy to follow. So the RMs will get about $95 million now. Some RMs may get a little less and some a little more. That's just an average number because, as you know, population does fluctuate from census year to census year.
Orb was also glad to see an increase to the Ministry of Agriculture's funding.
That affects every RM in this province that has agriculture in it. Of course, driving our economy, they're overall about a 4.1% increase. So that's a 22.4 million increase over last year. And, some of the enhancements to crop insurance are really pleased about. The province is seeing fit to put in another 38 weather stations. So those are for the rainfall insurance programs. Another $89 million for the Saskatchewan Canadian Agriculture Program, and those are programs that RMs rely a lot, and so do farmers as well. One thing I did note, there is a freeze again on the Crown lease rates for grazing, which I think is good that the province did that, because we're looking at some dry conditions again this year, and I think that will help livestock producers that graze their cattle in provincial pastures.
He also reiterated his praise for the Lake Diefenbaker Irrigation Expansion Project announcement made last week. You're listening to Sask Ag Today. Coming up next is AgriView with Doug Falconer, followed by Farm Precision Weather with Phil Spivak. Keep it tuned here to 620 CKRM. Sask Ag Today will return right after these messages.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's Ag Review with Doug Falconer of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and My Grain Exchange, ready to market your 2023 crop. Head over to MyGrainExchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
Louis Dreyfus Company's profits last year held close to the bumper levels of 2022, with the agricultural commodity giant saying its global trading network helped it withstand falling prices. LDC, one of the world's largest crop traders and processors, whose competitors include ADM, Bunge, and Cargill, said 2023 core earnings dipped to $2.22 billion U.S. from $2.35 billion a year ago, while its net income remained stable at $1.01 billion. Sales fell more sharply to $50.6 billion from $59.9 billion in 2022, reflecting a fall in prices and volumes. While markets were less chaotic than in 2022, when the start of Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine pushed global food commodity prices to a record high, the war and weather setbacks continued to disrupt supply and let LDC use its global network to generate profitable trade. Nearly 7 months of price pressures and fund selling creating a lengthy downturn have given way to canola trending higher for the first time in 2024. The oilseed continued its month-long rise during the week ended yesterday, gaining more than $70 Canadian per metric ton since late February. Winnipeg-based commodities investment advisor David Derwin from PI Financial says a combination of the funds covering some of canola's record net short position, other gains breaking their own trends, and the start of spring has fueled canola's breakthrough to the upside. Derwin also considers recent rises in Chicago soy oil as well as palm oil futures as supportive factors. However, the relatively small size of the canola market compared to other vegetable oils can create sharper price increases or declines. An organization representing Canadian veterinarians is calling for the federal government to intervene as it faces what it calls a severe workforce shortage. Representatives from the Canadian Veterinary Medical Association visited Parliament Hill yesterday to call for more investments in programs to shore up the industry and for mental health support for veterinary workers. Between 2022 and 2031, 5,000 veterinary jobs will open due to expansion and replacement needs, while only 4,300 job seekers will be available to fill them. The shortage of vets and veterinary workers has been an ongoing topic of concern. Practices that had recently hired new workers reported it could take anywhere from 3 to 12 months to hire someone. The data suggested that mixed animal practices, which likely are representative of rural and small town clinics, struggled most to fill openings. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Faulkner.
It's your SaskAg Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, what do we got going in the forecast for today?
Well, watching an area of snowfall, and it's actually a fairly significant area of snowfall, but we're watching it. We're not expecting it to impact us. It really is focused south of the border, cutting across Montana. It'll work its way across North Dakota. Some of the snow is creeping up to about Highway 13, some flurries are reaching. I don't think this stuff is going to get here. There's a little indication that back to the west, it's expanding farther northward, coming in. Just maybe get a couple of flurries. I'll keep the thread in there, a 20% chance. I don't think anything that falls from this is going to be significant. And for most of us, I don't think anything is going to fall. But it's out there, and because it is reconfiguring just a bit, I'll keep that low risk in the forecast, as I mentioned, but nothing really to worry about canceling plans over. It's overall, it's not a warm day by any means, but it's not very windy, which is making it not feel worse than it is. -4 with cloud cover, some mostly thinner to mid-level cloud cover, allowing some bright spots through, some partial sun may hook through as well. That chance for sunny breaks, really not much of a chance for the later afternoon. The cloud cover will thicken up for a while, even if we don't get the snow. And then through the night, it'll start to thin back out. -15 tonight, the wind 10 to 20. So wind chills in the low to mid -20s overnight and tomorrow morning. Cloud cover gives way to sunshine tomorrow, though the high near -4, and a mostly sunny day Saturday, -3. The freezing mark will continue to elude us. We're going to stay in this cooler pattern, but it is a mostly quiet pattern. Sunshine will mix with some cloud cover on Sunday. We'll be at around -6 and -7 on Monday, as we look to stay dry throughout the week, and maybe by the tail end of it, get back to zero. But it's going to be a long wait to get there, and especially to stay there.
Thank you very much, Phil. The normal highs for this time of year, 3 degrees, the lows -10. Sun rose in Regina at 6:57 this morning, and the sun will set at 7:15 tonight. Taking a look around the province, in Assiniboia, Estevan, Swift Current and Weyburn -6. Mooseman is at -8, Saskatoon -9, Yorkton and Melville -11. The warm spot in the province is a tie between Leader and Yellowgrass at -5, cold spot in Collins Bay at -21.9. In Regina, mostly cloudy sky, east-southeast wind only at 4 kilometers an hour, humidity 54%, temperature -6 degrees or 22 Fahrenheit, and the barometric pressure is at 102.6 and falling. In Moose Jaw, also cloudy, east-northeast wind at 8, temperature -5. Again in Regina, mostly cloudy, east-southeast wind at 4, temperature -6 degrees. Back in a moment.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to SaskAg Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of SaskAg Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience. McDougallAuction.com. Each month, the Market Analysis Group of Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada publishes an outlook report for principal field crops. As Kevin Hirsch of SaskAgToday.com reports, the March report released this week shows improved price prospects on some crops, while others have declined.
Looking at new crop price projections, the Ag Canada report has dropped its expected price for durum by $25 a ton as compared to its February report. Spring wheat is down by $20, with both barley and oats down by $5 a ton. Both barley and oats are the lowest in 4 years. Canola prices have been rallying in recent weeks, but the Ag Canada report has dropped its new crop price projection on canola by $20 a ton. Flax has gone the opposite direction and is up by $50 a ton. All the types of field peas are grouped together, and that new crop price projection is up by $25 a ton. Lentils have improved even more, with an increase of $50 a ton over last month's projection. Both chickpeas and canary seed are unchanged, but mustard has seen a huge drop, down $345 a ton as compared to the February new crop price projection. For SaskAg Today, I'm Kevin Hirsch.
Coming up next on the program, we'll look over a few more things from a webinar hosted by the Canola Council of Canada. It was on a canola utilization webinar about market demand and prices. All that and so much more here on the program. You're listening to SaskAg Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
You're tuned in to SaskAg Today on your Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of SaskAg Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Canola meal is facing a challenge to maintain and grow its share of the U.S. livestock feed market. Canola meal is a favorite for dairy producers because it boosts milk production, but soybean meal is viable for both poultry and hogs. Jeff Pleskatch is Cargill's canola merchandising manager in Winnipeg.
The growth in the space, as we do grow the crush capacity in Canada, is going to come from China. That's where we can see demand, whether it's in growth in aquaculture, this huge opportunities in the dairy space underutilizing canola meal right now, not nowhere near to the same degree as our friends in the U.S. do with sort of proven science around milk production and fat levels in milk.
Pluskatch says the biggest growth potential for canola meal is in China.
Everybody and their dog is building a soybean crush plant in the United States, so there's a competing factor there. We'll see certainly some pressure in the places where that soybean meal does compete in certain rations, more so in hogs, more so in poultry, less so in dairy. But when you do tend to get a large supply of a feedstuff like that, and it's going to try and find its place to the highest paying market. So we have to continue to expand and diversify.
Jeff Pluskatch is Cargill's canola merchandising manager based in Winnipeg. He spoke Tuesday during a Canola Council of Canada webinar on global demand for canola oil and meal. Speaking of which, we're also back with Jared Beatty, the Director of Marketing of Seed Exports for Parrish and Heimbecker. On yesterday's show, Beatty talked about how Australia's canola crop, how it's getting into Japan but can't crack the Chinese market, and noted a record crop a couple of years ago for Australia but a modest production last year. Now, even though it has been a relatively mild winter, there have been some domestic rail transportation issues.
Transportation, we always have to talk about it because it's always a bit of a scary one. We do rely on the railways to move our product, and we do rely on them to provide us with that service, which can be variable at time. And like I said, right now, they seem to be struggling with power and manpower, but what we're hearing. And so we want to look forward to make sure that they can continue to supply us. But I do want to again highlight that the infrastructure investments that have been put in over the past 5 years have really started to show their values.
Beatty says sustainability will become a bigger issue over the next 30 months.
This is one that is it's looming. You know, none of our customers today on the export side are requiring, other than the EU, a sustainability or traceability component. But we sure get a lot of questions about it. Now we've really seen it from Japan starting to ask questions. And so these may be table stakes for market access. And I think that's the way we're going to have to think about it going forward. We're continuing to monitor it as an industry. But if we want to be in markets, we may have to provide sustainability and traceability. The biofuel policy piece is going to drive a lot of the demand side for all the new crush capacity. But we're also seeing it overseas in Europe. Because it's such a big demand piece, and one of these plants can really suck up about 1 million tons of seed equivalent. So any changes in policy that enhances the biofuel uptake is going to have a massive component on how the markets play out. So that's going to be one thing, something to be monitoring and seizing the opportunities as they present themselves.
That's Jared Beatty, the Director of Marketing for Parrish and Heimbecker. Beatty was one of the speakers on a canola utilization webinar, again hosted by the Canola Council of Canada. Coming up next on Sask Ag Today is the market update, looking at the grain prices at Viterra. They're a bit mixed in early trading today. All that and more coming up right after the break.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Market update is brought to you by Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. Looking for the perfect vehicle? They'll find a match that exactly fits your agriculture lifestyle. Proudly serving southern Saskatchewan for over 60 years. Grain prices at Viterra were mixed in early trading today. Canola is down $1.80 to $607.32 a metric ton. Number one red spring wheat is up $2.11 at $300.31. The rest were unchanged. Durum $387.37, feed barley $225.58, chickpeas $992.08, flax $606.04, lentils $721.50, oats $276.32, yellow peas $437.98, and feed wheat $212.38. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is up 4¾ cents to $6.59¾ a bushel. Coming up next is the livestock report.
The Sask Ag Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock 842-4574. Now here are the latest livestock quotes.
Good afternoon, cattle producers. Here's your Heartland Livestock Services market report for the week ending March 22nd. Another strong week here today in Yorkton. Warmer days and melting snow, and it almost seems like spring is trying to creep in. With 2,635 in the pre-sort and 397 cows and bulls, we ended the day at 3,032 head. Here are some highlights. On the steer trade, 428-pound black steers at 521.5, 499-pound buckskin steers at 485.5, 577-pound red exotic steers at 438. We had 122 black steers weighing 634. They brought 415.5. 716-pound buckskin steers at 383.5, 790-pound exotic steers at 354.75, 858-pound black steers at 333, 949-pound buckskin steers at 313.5, and 1,035-pound exotic steers at 297.75. On the heifers trade, 431-pound black heifers at 453, 571-pound buckskin heifers at 380, 639-pound exotic heifers at 359.5, 710-pound black heifers at 330.5. 790-pound buckskin heifers at 332.75, 859-pound exotic heifers at 307, 932-pound buckskin heifers at 298. On the slaughter side, D1, D2 cows, 155 to 165, sales to 175, 180. D3 cows, 135 to 150. Thin, shelly, older cows, 90 cents to $1.30. Heiferettes, $1.50 to $2.20. Our cows average 153.94. Bulls were higher with better quality this week. Good hard bulls, 170 to 185, sales to 195. From the Roblin area, two big bulls weighing 2,437 pounds apiece brought $2.01. At our sheep sale, last Friday, we saw 950 sheep and goats trade in the higher market with 99-pound lambs bringing $3.34 and collie ewes up to $1.70. Pre-sort sale next week with some room. Call the office to book. Our pre-sort April 3rd will be a one-day sort due to the holiday Monday. This has been Carter Seale with your Heartland Livestock Service Market Report. Have a great day, and thank you for being a part of our industry.
And here are the latest pork prices.
This is Bill Ofer with the Hams Market Commentary for Thursday, March 21st. Hams sold 7,200 hogs Wednesday, selling a range of $203 to $215 per CKG. Today's sales are expected to be around 7,400 head, selling a range of $202 to $215 per CKG. Hams inborn sows this week are up, selling in the range of 63 to 70 cents per pound live weight. Hams cash hog price today is mixed, and forward contract prices open lower this morning. On Wednesday, the Canadian dollar is up 12 basis points, with the daily exchange rate at 1.3559. The Canadian dollar is currently trading at 73.97 cents U.S. Up one day and down the next, the lean hog futures market doesn't disappoint in terms of keeping things interesting. It absolutely did disappoint yesterday when it moved notably lower by the close, but as we have been repeating for weeks, lean hog futures are being led by technical traders who appear to be making incremental position changes in the pursuit of profit only. This morning, lean hog futures are lower, and the Canadian dollar jumped almost a full cent after the U.S. Federal Reserve kept interest rates at a two-decades high yesterday. The move in the Canadian dollar alone removed approximately $2.50 Canadian per CKG from the value of a forward contracted price in Canadian dollars, although about 60 cents of that has been given back this morning. Before the market opened, the USDA released the weekly export sales report, showing 32,133 metric tons in physical deliveries and 33,829 metric tons in new net sales commitments. These volumes are consistent with the per-week averages seen since the beginning of the year, but they are still supportive as exports, generally, remain quite good by any objective measure. But the market has already priced in strong exports, so the net result is a move lower in Canadian forward contracts this morning, but roughly a dollar Canadian per CKG compared to yesterday's closing values, as the technical traders remain in control.
Coming up next is the Resource Report.
It's the Sask Ag Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
The Bank of Canada's deputy governor says the central bank expects quantitative tightening to end sometime in 2025. The Bank of Canada launched quantitative easing operations for the first time ever during the pandemic to indirectly drive down interest rates. The process involved buying government bonds from financial institutions using central bank money called settlement balances. Tony Gravel says in a speech in Toronto that once quantitative tightening ends, the central bank will resume its normal market operations, meaning it will purchase financial assets to reflect growth in cash circulating in the economy. On the markets, the TSX is up 117 points at 22,163. The Dow is up 313 points to 39,825. Oil is down 52 cents at $80.75 per barrel, and the Canadian dollar is at 73.90 cents U.S. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. You can also find the podcast at SaskAgToday.com and at 620CKRM.com. And that's going to do it for Thursday's edition of Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have a nice day.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.